powered by Sports Interaction, Canada Sportsbook.
Welcome back, Jets fans, to Game Over Winnipeg. My name is Brady. I will be your host today. After a 3-2 loss, the Jets lose to the Buffalo Sabres here in Winnipeg. Ooh, boy. What an interesting game. I am going to try to bite my tongue a little bit here. People like to, misconstrue criticism for not being a fan of the team. I'm just going to say right now, I will likely be pretty negative this episode. But for good reason. The Winnipeg Jets, up until this point, have been fighting for first place in the Western Conference. They've had a great season, much better than expected. And we've seen the Jets play well. Tonight was not one of those nights. Tonight, we got classic Paul Maurice Jets, not 1.0, but Jets, the first coming of the Winnipeg Jets. We got that team tonight. An absolutely abysmal effort by the Winnipeg Jets tonight. We're going to dive in. We're going to dig into this right away. But before we do all that, got to get this one out of the way because I'm probably just going to ramble all show. I apologize if this isn't going to be, the most cohesive thoughts episode. This is going to be a spewing of thoughts. But regardless, think you know which way it's going to go. Make your bet with Sports Interaction. Whether it's hockey, football, or basketball, Sports Interaction has you covered. Bet pregame, live and player on one of our many prop bets. Sports Interaction makes it easy to deposit, play, and cash out. Join now and see all that sports betting has to offer. Want to bet? Head to sportsinteraction.com/SDPN. That's sportsinteraction.com/SDPN, 19+. Please play responsibly. All right, guys, let's dig in here to this game. I always like to preface the show with preface the game breakdown part of it with kind of what I'm expecting, what I'm hoping to see from the Jets coming into the game. So tonight, the Buffalo Sabres, last time the Jets played them was in Buffalo not too long ago. I remember doing the game over that night. And myself, I remember being pretty frustrated with the Jets and how they played that night. However, they did come out with the win. They did squeak one out despite heavily getting outshot and Connor Hellebuck having to stand on his head. The Jets did win. Of course, that is not the way it goes tonight. One thing I remember, going back to that game is I remember after doing my show, I was pretty negative after that. I usually like to watch, whether it's later on after the show or the next day, I like to usually watch Kenny and Rennie. I think they usually do some pretty good analysis. I'm sure if you're watching this show, you're familiar with Kenny and Rennie. They're on not too much later than us. And a great show and everything. But one of the things that Sean Reynolds of Sportsnet was saying was that he thought that last game that the Jets played the Sabres, the Jets did very well, despite getting heavily outshot, they did well to make things easy for Connor Hellebuck. The shots that they were letting on were not crazy high dangerous chances. There were some really crazy breakdowns, but all in all, he kind of defended how the Jets played because he thought that despite getting heavily outshot, he made it so that those shots were easy for they made it so that Connor Hellebuck had a really good chance of making the save. Tonight was not the case. I will be surprised to see what the other post-game shows have to say about this game here, but I doubt that we're going to hear much positive. This game ended up being 3-2. It shouldn't have been. I'll be honest with you, as I was watching this, I couldn't help but feeling, the Jets ended up, they finally score, what was it, 3 minutes left, 4 minutes left in the third, when Nate Schmidt scores on the power play, which we're going to dig into the power play later. I almost sat here going, if the Jets don't win this game, if the Jets do not come back from this, which it didn't seem like they were going to, they've had a good push at the end. Again, we're going to go through the game a little bit more, but I was sitting here going, I think the Jets need right now to lose this game. And it sounds really dumb to say this, but right now, again, it's January. This is the time to make your mistakes. It's better to make these mistakes now than it is, in April, May, June. You don't want to be having games like they had tonight in the future when there's actual stakes on the line. At the end of the day, it's the, you know, the end of January. These, you know, every game counts the same as others, but if you're going to make mistakes, now is the time to do it. And boy, oh boy, did the Jets make some mistakes. And I almost, and as what I was trying to say there was that I think it almost would have been better for the Jets to take their L and learn from it. Whereas, you know, I don't think that Rick Bonus isn't going to hold them to a high standard. I expect him to come in and rip them to shreds, as I expect he was between each period. And I expect him to rip them to shreds next practice. And I this is a bag skate game. Like, this is a game where you go next time you're on the ice, no pucks. I'm sorry to say, like, the next practice should be a no pucks practice. The Jets need to learn. They're all adults. You can't play hockey like this. You cannot. Tonight was a joke, a slap in the face. They owe Connor Hellebuck plenty of beer after absolutely hanging him out to dry tonight. It was brutal. Again, coming into this game, I'm gonna step back again one more time. You know, the Jets had their road trip. What was it? Five games, 10 days, blah, blah, blah. Who cares? At the end of their road trip, they play the Nashville Predators, lay a bit of a dud, and, you know, end up losing. It's kind of normal at the end of a road trip. Everyone's trying to just get home. But as we've kind of seen in you know, the talk around the Jets, they seem to be a team, and this actually tends to be, I think, a trend around the NHL. When a team comes home after a long road trip, usually the first game back isn't always the best, which is surprising because, you know, you're finally getting home. You get to sleep in your own bed. You get to have practice on your regular ice. The Jets had a couple days off, or did they? When did they play the Preds? I can't remember. I didn't do the game over for that one. Thank you, Liz, for taking that one. But, you know, Rick Bonus, trying to prepare his team tonight, brought them all in to practice for morning skate a little bit earlier than usual, putting an emphasis on this game, saying, guys, we can't just play lackadaisically. This is the Buffalo Sabres. We played them again. They've got 420 goal scorers on their team. Victor Olofsson, who's not part of that 20 goal club, has been on a heater, who, again, another goal tonight. This is a team that the Jets know, especially from the last time that they played them, that they cannot sleep on them. But also at the same time, the Buffalo Sabres aren't the best team defensively. Also, I think we also need to remember the fact that, like, you know, the Buffalo Sabres aren't a playoff team at the moment. They're fighting, and, you know, the East is much better than the West. I think that's very obvious, especially when you look at the standings. But this is a team that is not a playoff team. Like, what's going to happen when the Winnipeg Jets play Colorado, Dallas, Minnesota, whoever it is that they get in their first round matchup? If they play like this, they're going to be walking out like it's, you know, 4-0, like it's against the Habs, and they're just going to get swept. Like, this is a team that needs to be better, and they need to consistently be better. Since that Penguins game where we were like, oh my God, this is the blueprint game, the Jets haven't played that well. There was maybe, I guess you can maybe point to the win against like Ottawa, but like, it's Ottawa. Like, I expect the Jets to come out and play well against them. So tonight was a catastrophe. So now I'm going to get into my more, you know, my breakdown of the game. At this point, here, before we do that, I'm going to grab a sip of water. I'm going to look into chat, see if anyone has any comments here. Attican Man says, what a disgrace. I want my money back. TSN Turning Point, PLD whiff pass, two open guys in front. I actually have a different TSN Turning Point, and we'll talk about that in a moment. The money back thing, this is the thing I forgot to say before. One of my best friends, his father, doesn't go to many Jets games. He's a pretty casual Jets fan. And he was saying to me the other day how excited he was to go see the Jets play live. As Attican Man says in the chat, I want my money back. I would hope that he would too. Imagine this is the one game that you go to all year to see the Jets, and they just lay an absolute goose egg here. Like, shout out Eric Comrie. He didn't have to play that well, but great for him to get his revenge game against the Jets and win. I'm happy for him, but boy, oh boy, the True North Sports and Entertainment Corporation owes some people some refunds. That was a brutal game. Brutal. I'm going to have a sip of water, and then we're going to dive into go period by period. Okay. Sabres beat Minnesota, Dallas, and Colorado. This is another comment. Jay Gills, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Hot take. Buffalo beats Boston round one. No, they don't. Absolutely no, they don't. we got Jason Gross saying pissed question mark. I am. Greetings from Buffalo. Happy to see, I'm happy to see at least someone's happy in the chat here. Because boy, oh boy, what a atrocious game from the Jets. And it starts off early. Honestly, I thought the Jets came out actually pretty decently. They started the game off pretty well for the first, I don't know, 5-6 minutes or so. But the big key from the start of the game, sorry, from the first period that I saw was the Jets were making horrible, horrible turnovers in their defensive end. They were unable to, get the puck out. Their breakouts were brutal. The top lines got hemmed in, which, by the way, the top lines today were friggin' brutal, like absolutely awful for the Jets. The only two lines that actually had anything going was Morgan Barron, Lowry, and Kuhlman. And then the fourth line, like Kevin Stenlin had a fantastic game. I think at one point in the third period, I remember remarking to my girlfriend sitting beside me that after they brought the stat up that Kevin Stenlin had, four shots for the Jets? Or it was either three or four shots, and they only had 12 shots total at the time. How does a guy on your fourth line, have a quarter of your shots or a third of your shots, whatever it was at the time? Regardless, how? Dubois, I thought, had an awful game. He looks completely disengaged. There was one specific time I remember seeing where it was a kind of like a two-on-one with him and Nikolaj Ehlers, and it seemed like he couldn't really, like, he just didn't seem engaged. Like, it was just a poor game all around from the top six. Mark Scheifele looked awful again tonight. How many times did he get picked off in the middle of the neutral zone? Like, you have to be better about that. Anyways, again, this is just going to be a ramble episode. I'm sorry. I'm just frustrated, and it's so difficult to really string together a story of this game other than, oh my God, the Jets were awful. Let's just see here. Just a moment here. Yeah, in the first 7 minutes, the Jets had 7 defensive zone turnovers. Like, what are you guys doing? Like, what are you doing? What? I can't process what happened. Like, I can't. This game was so frustrating to watch. The Jets finally get a power play, and it was awful. The power play tonight was brutal. I know they end up scoring on the Nate Schmidt goal with, 4 minutes left after another high stick. But the Jets had, 4 chances on the power play tonight? And every single time, the first unit was awful. One thing I do not understand, I'm super happy to see that Rick Bowness has been putting Nikolaj Ehlers in a place to succeed, putting him on that top power play unit. That's something we've been screaming about for years. But one thing I don't understand, why is Kyle Connor the one who's getting the drop passes for the speed and the break-ins? You have one of the most efficient zone entry players on your team on your first power play in Nikolaj Ehlers. I don't understand why Kyle Connor is the one carrying the puck in. And that's not to slight Kyle Connor. I think we've seen the hands that he has. We've seen the elusiveness that he has. He is, he's a great player, but at the same time, I look and I just go, you have one of the best zone entry players in the league, if not the best. It's him and Matt Barzal who are always top of the zone entries. And you're just not using him correctly. One of the things in the pregame, Rick Bowness was kind of talking about Nikolaj Ehlers. And one of the things that he said was he's still kind of trying to figure out how to properly use him. He's happy with where Ehlers is, but he thinks that there's more there that he can give more to the team. I agree. It's always good to push your players to be better. But I think that also, Rick Bowness does, as he said, still need to figure out how to properly use him. And one of the key spots is on that power play. He absolutely needs to be the player carrying the puck in, because otherwise 95% of the time you have to dump it in. And then you're just going into a puck battle. Like, analytics people will talk about dump-ins and just call them essentially like a glorified turnover, because all you're doing is you're putting a puck into open ice. In certain situations, dump-ins are totally fine when you have to do it, when it's the only option available to you. But if you're constantly dumping the puck in, that means that you are showing the fact that you are unable to enter the zone properly. So that's one thing to start with. Just the breakdown's going to take the entire show before I even want to talk about other things after. But good grief. The only thing I'll say after that power play, you know, one thing I wrote down, Morgan Barron is a possession monster. He had a fantastic game tonight. I think that when the line blender came out in the second period, I would have loved to see, Morgan Barron bumped up to one of the top six roles. It just didn't seem like anything was happening in the top six. And I think that he was showing every single time that the Jets had no momentum or, you know, they would come off of a power play and, you know, the Jets put out their like third line that's kind of weird and jumbled where like, it's because Lowry isn't able to play there. It's like Stenlin playing with Morgan Barron and Kuhlman. That line always was able to get momentum rolling for the Jets again, which is a surprise because usually after a penalty is killed, the team that killed it usually has the momentum spike. But I found that, you know, Morgan Barron was battling in deep all night. He had a fantastic game. Kevin Stenlin also another fantastic game by him. It was just brutal. And then I wish you could see, I could hold it up here, but this is one of the longest, the most amount of notes I've written for a game. And it's because I wrote down multiple times, every time that the Jets passed too many times. And I miss a lot too. These are just the ones where I'm like losing my mind. In the first period, there's one where, actually this isn't really a passing or a one day where they pass too much, but there's the one where Scheifele is breaking in, makes a nice pass over to Ehlers, passes it back to Scheifele. He misses the net. Again, you got to get shots on. You have to get shots on. But at this point it wasn't dire to be getting it on. I mean, obviously you want to see shots going on, but at this point the game was just kind of like it wasn't completely falling out of the Jets' control. Again, just sloppy start, bad turnovers, third line possession was good, not enough shooting, power play stinks. Those were my notes for the first period. And Adam Lowry said, had a quote between periods that kind of sums it up. You got to get the puck in the zone. Basically, that was Lowry when he was asked about what was the issue in regards to the power plays. He spoke only for his own unit because he didn't want to speak for the first unit. But I think that could have been applied to both. And then we enter the worst period of hockey that the Winnipeg Jets have played in a long time, all year for sure, to the point where the CLC, the Canada Life Center, started booing. We have not, I at least to my knowledge, we have not heard any booing at all in the Canada Life Center towards the Jets. But absolutely, absolutely necessary here and completely earned. The Jets had the worst period I've seen the Jets play in a long time. Going back to my the Jets need to shoot more. We have an opportunity where, you know, the Jets kill off the penalty that starts the second period. And then, they put on their post PK line, which is usually like Scheifele, Connor, and Dubois all together. Scheifele gets a nice entry on the left side of the zone. And Pierre-Luc Dubois is opened up for a one-timer. He gets a pass across from Mark Scheifele. What does he do? He does not shoot the puck. He moves it over to the side, dishes it back into the center, kind of to Kyle Connor. It goes behind Kyle Connor and in front of whichever D-man was in the slot at the time. And again, I just write, please shoot the puck. Please shoot the puck. Oh my God, you can't score without shooting the puck. And then less than like a minute later, you have the same thing. You have Lowry, Kuhlman, and Ehlers breaking into the zone. Lowry passes it off to Kuhlman. Kuhlman is at the top of the slot. No defenseman on him. He passes it over to Ehlers. Don't get me wrong. In a lot of cases, I would say, I would rather have Ehlers taking the shot. But at this point, the Jets need to get pucks on net. I don't care. Eric Comrie needs to be tested. He has to be. And the Jets did not do that at all tonight. How many, I feel crazy. Like, I feel like I'm taking crazy pills right now. But the entire time, I have never been the guy to be like, shoot the puck. But if I was at the game, all I know is that I would be screaming, shoot the goddamn puck. Oh my God. So frustrating. And then what I consider to be the TSN turning point of the game, Adam Lowry gets hurt. I don't think that this specifically caused anything. It's just kind of a moment that kind of signified exactly when everything went south. And then for the final 15 minutes and 46 seconds, that's right, three quarters of the period, the Jets get zero shots, and they get absolutely run over by the Buffalo Sabres. Again, the Jets should have expected this. The Buffalo Sabres are one of the best goals for team in the league. The reason they're not in a playoff spot is because they're not as good defensively and their goaltending isn't great. You know, things that you would hope the Jets could kind of, take advantage of. But they didn't at all tonight. There is one specific thing that I've written down here right before the Sabres ended up scoring. There was this one play where Casey Mittelstadt gets the pass at the top of the blue line, and he just walks in. And, like, great patience by him. He did fantastic on this. Great moves. But he didn't really make a lot of moves. He just kind of was very patient. And every single Jets player, you know, scurried out of the way, make sure, oh, no, don't shoot it at me. Like, and no one plays him. He's able to walk from the blue line all the way into almost the slot, like, almost the blue paint, like, into the slot easily, gets a shot off. Luckily, this is the one where Connor Hellebuck goes diving out into the abyss. And as you know, you can make one of those shooting star memes about Connor Hellebuck going flying out of his blue paint. And luckily, Neil Pionk, you know, as much as we've ragged on him, did save a goal here for the Jets. So good on him. But all of that entire play was just a massive breakdown. The Jets need to be better. Again, finally, the Sabres end up scoring after they possessed the puck for like 3 minutes. Again. No shots for the final 15 minutes and 46 seconds. It just seemed like the Jets were just doing their best to survive at, like, what, 25 minutes into the game? Like, what is going on? So the Sabres take the lead. I'm just reading through my notes now. Sabres take the lead. Connor Hellebuck robs, makes that really nice save off of the rebound where... I can't remember which Sabres player it is, shoots from the right side of the ice, big rebound, goes out to the left. Connor Hellebuck slides across, makes a nice save on the guy. So good on him. Fantastic. Great. It's a good thing that the Jets have Connor Hellebuck, or this game could have easily been, I don't know, 5-2, 6-2, who knows? And it gets even worse as we continue on. The Jets get absolutely embarrassed, on the second goal that the Sabres score. This is the one where, who was it? Who broke into the zone by the Sabres? Who cares? It was the Sabres top line. Their three-pronged attack of killers having Jeff Skinner, Tage Thompson, and Alex Tuck. Whoever it is on the left side, I'm just going to say Skinner. Skinner breaks it in on the left side, makes a nice pass backdoor for, I believe, Tage Thompson. I can't remember which players were involved with the goal specifically. And what you see by the Jets here, before that, he makes a beautiful pass. Of course, Connor Hellebuck goes, you know, slides all the way across for the shot. Sabres player has a beautiful play, passes it back into the middle of the ice, and he's got a wide open cage. A gaping 4x6, as Kevin Sawyer always says, which I hate. I'm sorry that you had to listen to that. And he scores one of the easiest goals of his career because it's a wide open net. But this was an absolute breakdown, and the player I'm pinning the blame on, I'm sure there's more blame to be given out on the way into the zone. But what happens is Neil Pionk plays the man who entered the zone at the blue line, which is what he should do. I was totally fine with that play. And then Brendan Dillon is just caught in no man's land. He tries to swat at the puck. The Sabres player makes a nice saucer pass to the guy back door. He swats at the puck, and then you have Carson Kuhlman coming in, playing, you know, back checking on that guy there. And then Brendan Dillon, again, is just in no man's land, is sitting, you know, just above the blue paint. And then the pass goes back up to the top of the slot, and then he tries to block the shot and misses. Got to be better. In general, that it was just a complete breakdown by the Jets. Just awful. Brutal. And then there was this one play with 4 minutes left in the second period that perfectly culminated how the second period was going. The Sabres full court press against the Jets, absolutely dominating them. And one of the Sabres players like swats away one of the Jets sticks, and it kind of slashes it away. And every single player, at least four of them for sure, but I'm pretty sure every single Jet player, all at once, all go to try and call for a penalty. You want to know why? That's the only way the Jets could have had any sort of potential of having possession in the offensive zone is if the refs call a penalty on the Sabres and the Jets get an offensive zone faceoff. Which we'll talk about faceoffs probably too, because that was a fun little theme of tonight. We might go a little long tonight, but that's okay. I'm having fun. And then again, another perfect moment, I think, that culminates exactly down to what the Jets did poorly today and what could have caused them to actually, what they could have changed to be better. There's this one play with like about 2.5 minutes left in the second period. Where Cole Perfetti is back checking and stops a guy up on the blue line for the Jets. He stayed on him like white on rice, like just absolutely glued to this guy, pickpockets the puck away from him. It's the defensive effort you need to see from your forwards at the blue line. Again, a denied zone entry, basically. And Cole Perfetti makes a pass up the ice, and then the Jets start going. And the Jets actually got a little bit of possession in the offensive zone. They still didn't get any shots on because, again, like I said, they had no shots in the final 15 minutes and 46 seconds of the second period. Oh, my God. You're a hockey team. I don't know. I don't know what to say. Oh, brutal. And then also, us fans, again, the Jets, like I said, fully revert back to their old ways. And we see the nail in the coffin to really tell us that we're back to, the Paul Maurice days. We see Connor, Scheifele, and Wheeler hop over the boards together. And that's how you know the Jets have fully reverted back to their Paul Maurice ways for tonight. Brutal. Just brutal. Again, blender wise, I don't blame Rick Bowness. The top two lines were awful tonight. They were brutal. So I don't blame him for trying to mix it up and he didn't stay on that, combination. He was just trying stuff, which again, good on him. But at the same time, I think that tonight would have been a good time to potentially, uplift some of the guys who were actually playing well, like Morgan Barron, Kevin Stenlin, those guys. Those were guys who were on the ice near the end of the game when the Jets are trying to tie it up, as they should be, because they were the only guys who actually, gave a shit tonight. And then, third period happens. Pierre-Luc Dubois starts the period off with a gigantic pizza, passes it off to a guy who's all alone at the blue line. He walks in for a nice shot. Cool, great. Then the Jets break down again. Neil Pionk starts playing I gotta slow myself down. I apologize. The Sabres have possession in the Jets zone in the corner. One of the Jets forwards was playing. I think the centerman was playing the man who had the puck. Neil Pionk comes over, also tries to play him. I don't know if five guys on each side. If two guys play on one guy, that means that there's four guys and three guys left. A bit of a mismatch, and a guy is left wide open in front. Jeff Skinner gets a beautiful chance. It goes off the crossbar or post. I don't know. There was a ping. That's all I remember. and then almost immediately after, the same thing happens. But Connor Hellebuck makes the save. Why? Why even in the third period? Still, the Jets are allowing like prime, perfect chances. Like, how many times did it look like the Jets were on the PK tonight when they weren't? Like, the Sabres ran their show. Everyone's tweeting how they got Harlem Globetrottered by the Sabres. They absolutely did. Like, that's the best way to describe how this game went. Again, the next note I have written down here is that the Sabres zone entries were super easy. Again, how are you getting caught cheating, for offense and not producing any offense? I don't know. I don't know what to tell you guys. But then, like I said, eventually, the Jets end up scoring with about 4 minutes left to make it 3-1. You know, we hear a little Mambo number five. I think it's the most undeserved Mambo number five that we've had. It wasn't probably, if I was in the arena, I wouldn't have been going too crazy. Then, of course, PLD scores with, 41 seconds left. Too little, too late, boys. You guys can't turn it on in the last 4 minutes. You have to play 60 minutes of hockey. You can't just play, how many minutes of hockey do you think the Jets played tonight? Like, 20? Maybe? Not even? I wouldn't even say that. Maybe 15, like the first 10 minutes or so of the first and the last 4 minutes of the third. Like, just absolutely awful. Just brutal. Neil Flood, Skinner to Tuck to Thompson. That was in regards to the the wide open goal. But yeah. Anyways, it's a tough night for the Jets. Oh, I missed the Olofsson goal. They scored off of the on the Schmidt penalty where he elbowed. Hopefully, Dylan Cousins is okay. It looks kind of scary when you see a guy go down like that where he doesn't really know exactly where he was. Yeah, just brutal. All right, that was, again, to reiterate the big issues, defensive zone turnovers, allowing easy entries and being unable to enter the offensive zone. The power play stunk tonight. Too many defensive zone lapses and, again, turnovers, the lack of ability to break out the puck. Just a brutal game all around by the Jets. Too little, too late. They end up losing as they should, as they deserve, to the Buffalo Sabres. I had a whole thing I wanted to talk about in regards to physicality because the Jets seem to have a little bit of roughness tonight. But again, this was roughness in the way that, you know, in the way that, a kid playing house league slams their stick on the ice after they get pissed off. The Jets were trying to cause some stuff after whistles, which, it depends on how you look at it. Like, you could look at it from the sense of you're trying to cause a spark for your team. But the way I saw it was just a pathetic, slappy kind of just trying to piss the other team off while they sit there laughing, going, look at the scoreboard, guys. What the hell? You guys haven't shot on our goalie in 20 minutes. Like, that's how I looked at it tonight. And maybe that's just how abysmal the Jets were tonight that I can't really give them credit for trying to spark something in them. But brutal, just a brutal game. We're already at 30 minutes in. I'll touch really quickly on trade deadline stuff. I think tonight, again, is an example as to why the Jets, need a little bit more help up front, maybe another defenseman. I've originally wasn't on the you need another defenseman train, but, after some more thought, reading Murat Ateş had a couple really great articles talking about, what the Jets have in regards to the Stanley Cup contender checklist. You should go check that out if you have an Athletic subscription. Murat Ateş obviously has the best articles. Fantastic. He's worth the subscription all on its own. But one of the things that I think the Jets could use is maybe another top 4D. But really, my eyes are set on the forwards because that is by far the most obvious place where they need some sort of upgrade. In my opinion, a contender version of the Jets involves Blake Wheeler not being in the top six. Like, I'm just going to be honest with you. That's the guy who, if you're able to push him down to your third line, makes a world of difference. Again, he can be given, I am a firm believer that Blake Wheeler can be given a role. If Rick Bonus comes to him and goes, hey, we need you to play a more defensive game. You have to be defensive first. I'm putting you on this responsible line with Lowry and Barron. Your goal is to outwork the other team and allow as little shots as possible. I think that Blake Wheeler could potentially thrive in that role. And again, you're getting a reduced minutes with a guy who's getting a bit older. I think if you can afford to push him down the lineup, which the Jets can't right now, but if you can afford to do that, that gives you three hard playing lines. I think the Jets could probably use even more than that. But right now, let's just say one big piece, one top six winger would be the first thing that I look to. And of course, I'm going to say I would love for the people in the chat to let me know who they think or who is their ideal trade deadline target. For me, it's Timo Meier. I mean, it's kind of obvious. It's you know, if you followed me on Twitter, I've been kind of, you know, saying how much I want Meier, and I put out a cap friendly armchair GM thing that would never happen, but he's easily top of my list. I think he fits the Jets system perfectly. He's a guy who is still pretty young, can provide a lot of offense, but also be responsive responsible defensively. He's only making $6 million right now. The Jets are kind of predicted to have about $9 million in cap space available to them. And I think that he is the ideal trade deadline target. Right now, they're saying that the package is going to look something along the lines of the Alex DeBrincat deal, which was a first, a second, and a third the next year. Keep in mind, though, one of those firsts was seventh overall. But also with the fact that this year's draft is absolutely stacked, maybe, you know, a 20th pick or, you know, whatever the Sharks think the Jets are going to finish at, that would be, you know, potentially of similar value. But I'm not sure if that has to do with, you know, if you're getting him automatically re-signed as a part of the trade deal, or if you're just getting him with his current status where he's going to be an RFA at the end of the year and then has the $10 million qualifying offer. Yada, yada, yada. Either way, Timo Meier is a guy who I absolutely would be targeting. And also, if you can extend him, allows the Jets a little more wiggle room with all the potential cuts they have, or not cuts, but potential guys walking away. Obviously, we've heard all the rumors with Dubois, the Nick Kypreos clip. You know, I think winning changes a lot, and things can change any day. But I would say at the moment, his sights are probably set elsewhere. But that doesn't mean that can change, or that can't change. So if I'm the Jets, I do everything in my power to try and get Pierre-Luc Dubois to come back, which would include, in my opinion, icing a better hockey team around him, which would include Timo Meier in it. Then you can, you know, if other guys walk, so be it. You still have some key pieces that are going to be good for you going forward. What is it? Timo Meier is like, what, 26? Like, he's got a lot of career left in him. He's a guy who I would absolutely love to have long-term. Him and Ehlers played together back in Halifax. But yeah, this is a long time to spend on Timo Meier, especially when he's been kind of linked to the Devils. But I also think that we haven't heard a lot from where the Jets are kind of aiming. So maybe just the news hasn't came out as to who they're targeting or who they're talking to. Obviously, there's Bo Horvat, who I think also would be another great addition. Obviously, he's the traditional rental piece. I think that he would work well with the Jets, allow the Jets to maybe put, you know, a Scheifele on the wing or something like that in the top six. Or you can, you know, stretch those guys out, go, you know, Dubois, Scheifele, Horvat, Lowry down the middle, and then you're set for forever. Not forever. You're set for the offseason in regards to centerman. No matter what line goes on, you have a good, responsible player. Other guys I would look to, obviously there's the Jesse Puljujärvi stuff that's going on. At some point, the Oilers are going to have to move him because they need cap space to activate Kaylor Yamamoto off their IR. He's making $3 million and they're looking for a left-handed defenseman. In my opinion, I've been saying this since the offseason. And of course, this is just me, you know, speculating, just saying trades that come to my head. I would love to see if there's a potential Logan Stanley trade there. I think that, you know, Ken Holland is the type of guy who would be interested in a player of Logan Stanley's stature and what he allegedly brings to the lineup with his physicality, which I thought tonight he was, you know, at the start he was a little physical, but I think as soon as the play gets, you know, really much more intense, he kind of loses that physical edge. And at the same time, I think that physicality is something that we like to glorify. And a lot of times when you see hits, you're not really separating a player from the puck. You're just kind of hitting him after he's passed the puck. Yes, it does, you know, psychologically affect the team. You know, they're looking behind their backs. They're trying to make passes quicker. They're a little more scared. But at the same time, I don't think that he provides, you know, I think that Dylan Sandberg provides everything that Logan Stanley does, but is a little safer in his own zone other than the minor gaffe here and there. But we always see that from Stanley too. So, moving on, Garland would be an interesting guy from the Canucks as well, too. You know, everything that's going on there, they seem to not really be a huge fan of him anymore. I wonder how cheap you could get him. He would be a player who would be kind of on the lower end of middle six guys to look at. but I think that he's still interesting. And then on the defensive end of things, a player who I was looking at is Jake McCabe. When he was a UFA, or a UFA, RFA, UFA? UFA. I think he was a UFA previously. When he was a UFA previously and signed in Chicago, he was one of the guys who I was hoping the Jets would go out and potentially sign. He's great on both ends of the puck, and he's got good defensive metrics in Chicago, so he must be pretty good. I think he would be great. Right now, the price for him is, if you want him at his $4 million cap hit, you can pay a second for him, and then if you want him at 50% retained, it would be a first. So obviously, in my opinion, I think you got to go with the second, because I think you're probably going to need the first in the bigger trade that the Jets make. There's Luke Shen back in Vancouver. I seem to have just want to talk about Vancouver guys, apparently, but it would be interesting. And then one name I forgot to mention, which I haven't looked at the chat, but I'm sure that they're mentioning it, is I'm sure that people are wondering about Jonathan Toews. In my opinion, I don't think Jonathan Toews is the answer for the Jets. I think he could be part of it. He'd be really interesting. It'd be a great story to see him come home. We've seen an example with actually going to the Sabres, seeing a guy like Alex Tuck come in. He's a hometown guy, and just vibes wise is good for the team. And obviously, Jonathan Toews has previous accolades. In my opinion, I think you should only really consider the past 3 years of a player, and he hasn't really done much in the past 3 years. It is what it is. But I also think that the cap space could be better spent elsewhere. Again, he's a $10.5 million player. If he's able to, if you can get him at 50% retained, it's still 5.25. That's already half of your cap deadline space. Over half, actually. And I think that he doesn't move the needle exactly enough that the Jets need. I think if you are trading for him, you have to trade for another forward for sure. People give him a lot of credit for his ability to take faceoffs. This was a thing I kind of mentioned, I would chat about. But recently, there's been a lot of chatter about faceoffs for the Jets. And while I do think that faceoffs are valuable and winning faceoffs are valuable, just as I said with Dumpin saying that they're a glorified turnover, faceoffs are just a glorified puck battle. They have the same result as winning a faceoff has the same result as winning a puck battle. I think that it's important to get guys who are able to win draws, but I don't think that the focus needs to be on that specifically. Winning a faceoff is very specific to a moment. If you're defending a lead at the end of a game and there's a draw in your own zone, you need to be able to win that faceoff. You need to make sure that you get possession in that specific moment. But in the grand scheme of things, faceoffs aren't really worth a lot of it. Like, aren't that valuable. Again, like I said, it's a puck battle. It's the exact same thing as two guys going to the boards and one guy steals the puck from him and gets possession. Sure, it's great to start with possession all the time, but like I said, I think that I think we're putting a lot of value on faceoffs, and the amount that Kevin Sawyer and the guys on the broadcast like to talk about the Jets faceoffs, and a lot of people were saying there was some mention of how the Jets were awful in the draw in the first period. And again, if you come out of that first period tonight thinking the Jets were bad because they didn't win enough faceoffs, I'm sorry, there's so much more to the game than that. And so that's why, again, I think that a lot of the value that people see in Jonathan Toews is this, defensively responsible forward a centerman who can win draws and this and that. And I just don't think that it carries the same value that a lot of people think it does. However, again, for the right price, I would absolutely take him on our team. But again, I still think that the cap space could be better spent elsewhere, but we'll see what happens, what shakes out. And, the Jets might be able to get him for real cheap because he does have a no move clause. He is interested in coming back here. I've heard things as much as like, it might only cost a second or a third. Again, I'm interested, but I don't think he's my top tier guy to look at. Anyways, this has been a long one. Thank you all for tuning in. Please, we have a decent amount of people here. Please go ahead and like the stream. That would be really fantastic if you could. We really, really appreciate it. this is modern history in the chat goes, beautiful logo and jersey. Boy, oh boy, the Jets made it look really gross tonight. But hey, it is what it is. Hopefully the Jets are much better in the next game. Who are they playing again on the weekend? They play on Saturday against the Philadelphia Flyers in Winnipeg once again. Hopefully they, you know, they have a good practice tomorrow. Bones lays into them and lets them know that that is unacceptable how they played. And hopefully they can come back, win a big game against the Flyers, get some momentum rolling into the All-Star break, where we'll see some Jets players do some fun stuff at the skills competition and the All-Star game in Florida. Anyways, thank you all for tuning in. My name is Brady. Follow me on Twitter at NHL Chunky. Follow at SDPN Sports. Alyssa and I, we have our own podcast called At Can't Teach Size. It's called, sorry, Can't Teach Size. We haven't done a podcast in a while, but we should be doing one this weekend. I think we're going to do a bit of a trade deadline primer. So don't be surprised if you hear a similar taste from me there, but I think we're going to talk about the league in general. So look out for that. Yeah, have yourselves a good night, and you know, hopefully you guys all have a wonderful Friday tomorrow. We'll see you on the weekend. Hopefully it's a good game against the Flyers. Have yourselves a wonderful evening. Get some sleep. We'll see you next time.
Game over! Powered by Sports Interaction, Canada Sportsbook.